Let's bring in Jordan Bastian, who covers the Cleveland Indians for MLB.com. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. Did you enjoy our little conversation about Dieter Brock, L.A. Rams quarterback?
Hearing you go on and on about how awesome Winnipeg is just was bringing back all sorts of memories from when I was sitting near you in the press box.
That's true. That's true. There are some other memories that we could talk about.
Sure.
No, let's not. Tell me about Kyle Merritt.
Yeah, Ryan Merritt.
I did that. I did that intentionally. Come on, give me the benefit of the doubt. Ryan Merritt.
You know what's funny is someone else asked me about Ryan Merritt last night, and I said I know as much as John Gibbons. And if you remember John Gibbons' answer last night, he said
he's left-handed.
And I think that's, in a way, kind of the story of Ryan Merritt right now, is that nobody really knows much about this guy. You know, he's not one of their highly touted prospects. He's not a kid that, you know, I really know a ton about, because I didn't really expect him to even really make the Major League roster this year. But because of all the injuries and issues, and I think when he came to the big league team just sort of as bullpen insurance earlier in the year, I think it was in the wake of that 19-inning game in Toronto when the pitching staff was just ravaged. They had to make a bunch of moves. You know, he's a really soft-spoken kid from Texas, and the thing they love about him is he just throws strikes. He's like the left-handed Josh Tomlin, if you want a comparison in terms of stuff. And so I think that's why on this stage, or even when they were trying for home field at the end of the regular season and they needed somebody to make a start just because of all the injuries that they've had, you know, they handed the ball to him. And one of the reasons is exactly that. Terry Francona really loves that he has a kid that, even though he doesn't have a ton of experience, he knows he can put out there on the mound and he knows he's going to throw strikes and basically not beat himself. And I think on this stage, that's what you want. You want to have that trust that he's going to attack. And, you know, if it doesn't go well, you know, Terry Francona held some of his arms back in that game yesterday. So you have Cody Allen and Andrew Miller fresh today. You know, so hopefully from the Indians' perspective, Ryan Merritt can give a little length. The offense can get that lead, because really the story of the series has been the pitching. On both sides, the pitching has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been overlooked that the Indians haven't hit, just like the Blue Jays hadn't hit really up until yesterday. So the difference has been Indians have been able to get that lead in the middle of the game and then turn the game over to their bullpen. So that's kind of going to be the formula they're looking for once again tonight.
Clevenger's name was penciled in for that start originally, wasn't it, Jordan?
It was, and that was, he was their fourth starter at the end of the year, but they really like him, and he's another rookie out of the bullpen. And unlike Merritt, he's a guy that's a little more susceptible to walks. And unlike Merritt, he's a guy that had no longer been stretched out. Once they put him in the bullpen, they kind of ceased the throwing program where he would be stretched out to start. And he was penciled in as that starter in this series before the roster was set. And then once Trevor Bauer injured his finger and it sort of caused that pitching staff scramble, they actually they originally planned to have another reliever, Joe Colon, on their roster, and they decided against that, added Ryan Merritt, and because he could give them more innings and because he, as I said, just kind of can pound the strike zone a little more consistently, you know, that's why they ended up going with him over Clevenger and leaving Clevenger in the bullpen.
Yeah, you know, the Bauer thing, it does, you know, obviously unexpected, presents all kinds of complications for Francona, and I get complications for their medical staff. What do they think in terms of, you know, this series? I would seem unlikely that you would see him again, but I guess it's possible if he heals up. But you know, even beyond that, if the Indians advance, what can they kind of assume in terms of that injury now?
That's going to be a wait and see thing. I think one thing that Francona said was a positive was it wasn't like the whole wound ripped open; it was one little spot, and like they wanted him to be able to get through that inning quick, so he could get back to the dugout, almost like a boxer. They wanted to get him to his cut man, you know, in the dugout between innings. They weren't able to do that, obviously. But I think the hope here is, you know, if it came down to it and it went seven games of the series and there was an extra inning game and it was just absolutely emergency, I think they feel by the length of this series, they could maybe use him out of the bullpen in an emergency situation. I highly doubt you're going to see Trevor Bauer pitch again in this series. If they make the World Series, then if you line him up for Game 3 or you want to buy yourself even more time in Game 4, you know, you're giving him at least 10 days to now heal as opposed to 48 hours, which was the scenario before. And we all saw on national television how just absolutely ugly that wound was. I think it could use 10 days or more to heal because that was just a really problematic situation. And, you know, we saw what happened in that game, for lack of a better term, bleed into the next game because that's what forced Corey Kluber to start on short rest, because they wanted to give Kluber not only the chance to finish the series, which didn't happen, but they trusted that he would be able to pitch deep into the game and kind of save their bullpen.
What are the other, I'm not one to get too far ahead here, and I'm not conceding the Indians' berth in the World Series, but, you know, if Bauer, you know, if they can't, they don't feel secure in him being healed up, the options are really limited here, right? You got a Kluber potentially making a Game 7 start on short rest. You know, you've got a diminished rotation. It's going to be pretty tricky here for Francona, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's Josh Tomlin would be pitching Game 6, and then Kluber would be coming back on short rest for Game 7. I mean, that's what it would be. There's no debating that. But if there's any kind of setback for any of those guys, luckily none of the other guys are into building drones, so they're not going to have any late-night drone accidents for the rest of the series. But they have no one else right now. I mean, it's an interesting scenario. When they headed into the playoffs, it was like, here's their three starters. What are they going to do when they get to the ALCS? Well, now that's why you see Ryan Merritt, you know, this kid with one career start under his belt, getting a start in the biggest game of his life and one of the biggest games in the franchise's history. You see it him. You know, Carlos Carrasco's injured. Danny Salazar is throwing, but he has a forearm strain and he's not 100% healthy. And even if he were back, he couldn't start. And other guys who were starters at one point this year, Cody Anderson and Mike Clevenger, they're in the bullpen now, and they like them in the bullpen. You know, so if you have a setback to any of the starters, then it becomes an even more problematic situation, and that's why you're not seeing any type of roster move with Bauer, because if they were to try and replace him for this series to get an extra arm, they lose him for the World Series potentially, and if you lose him for the World Series, then you're down to Kluber and Tomlin and Andrew Miller and everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a really dicey situation right now, and kind of walking on eggshells.
You know, Jordan, Terry Francona is getting a lot of credit for the way he's managed his bullpen in this series, starting with the way he's used Andrew Miller, but in Game 3, the way he kind of, you know, he was able to nurse his team through the whole Trevor Bauer situation. Give it a chance to cover him for a while now. You know, obviously his record speaks for itself. I think he's tied with Sparky Anderson for the seventh most wins all time in the postseason. I believe his postseason winning percentage is at the top or very near the top. What is it about Terry Francona that, you know, allows him to have this knack for managing crises? You know, and John Farrell made this point one time about how, and when I say crisis, I'm not talking about a nuclear crisis or anything like that, but I'm talking about the stuff that happens in the day-to-day life of a team. And he said Terry's the absolute best at just handling that stuff that comes up all of a sudden. What is it about him that allows him to do that?
I think part of it is just his personality. He's so loose and easygoing, and I don't think the players ever see him panicking. I think that's huge. I think the other part of it, especially here in Cleveland, you know, is he's been here for 4 years now, and a lot of the players in that locker room and in that dugout have been with him for 4 years now. So they have learned now that if you're a platoon player or if you're a pitcher who's only facing right-handed hitters, or, you know, if you don't have a role in the bullpen, that you're on call for any inning, you know, they've been with him long enough now to not raise an eyebrow at it or wonder what he's doing, but to trust that it's going to work. You know, like Lonnie Chisenhall has basically been a versus right-handed bat for his entire time under Terry Francona. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure earlier in his career, he would have loved to have been a full-time player. But after 4 years of this, and to see how his own personal statistics have blossomed under this approach, I mean, his slash lines look a lot better. And so there's a lot that trust of, all right, yeah, he actually is maximizing my production. He is putting me in the best situation to succeed. And now when I go to arbitration, hey, I'm making more money.
Right.
You know, so it all kind of ties together. And I think because he's been here for so long, he's never – I mean, another example is he's never called Cody Allen the closer. We always call Cody Allen the closer because he pitches the ninth the most and gets the most saves out of anyone in that group. I've never heard Terry Francona use the word closer in 4 years.
Interesting.
It's just because he doesn't want to pigeonhole anyone into roles because he wants everyone to be open-minded. And I think after 4 years, he's had the buy-in from his players. You know, a guy like Brandon Guyer, he's a left-handed hitting weapon. He wants to play every day. He wants to face right-handed pitching, but he knows – I have 1,000 OPS against left-handed pitching, and that's how Terry Francona is using me, and it's benefiting the team. And he's gotten this total buy-in from his players from that success over the years. And that, I think, is what allows him in-game to make these decisions and have those players willing to sort of embrace what looks unconventional to everybody else.
Jordan, assuming that the Indians, that the Cleveland winds up with a lead, they're ahead in the game. How early could we see Andrew Miller today, and how long could he go?
Oh man, I mean, he went. It was the first game of the playoffs. He was in the fifth inning, and then he pitched 40 pitches to really try and extend it and get to that the other guys in the bullpen. You know, I would not put it past Terry Francona to even start going to his bullpen in the fourth. You know, if they get a lead with Ryan Merritt and Terry Francona is viewing this like there is no tomorrow, which is the way he's tried to approach every single one of these playoff games, I could see him going to the bullpen early. If they get a lead, you have this rookie, you know, out there. He's going to have, you know, that stadium packed and loud and trying to rattle him. If they get a lead, I could see them trying to go to the bullpen early, get Andrew Miller there by the fifth, sixth, seventh, try and bridge that gap to the guys at the end. So I would not be surprised if that's the approach.